And welcome to The Smoke Break. I'm your host, your old pal Zay, here with Jasmine Nothing.
Hello.
And our guest host this week, Kingsley.
Hi.
Kingsley is a multi-hyphenated creative, and their music
sounds like the first sip of champagne.
God damn. We nailed that. That was perfect. That was perfect. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so excited. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
So when we were talking to you first, something that you brought up as one of your topics that you wanted to talk about was breath play, which I think is like a really cool word choice.
Yes. So it is trademark, so you cannot steal it from me, internet. But I started off as a breath work facilitator and just learning about decolonizing the mind, as we're all currently going through. I didn't like using breath work. I didn't like thinking that I'm working to do this thing. And so I started the term breath play, which is really just playing with your breath and seeing and exploring what your breath can do. Can it create joy? Can it create happiness? Can it manifest, you know, $1 million? Let's find out. Let's play around and find out.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. What do you think is the role that like breathing plays just in like management of emotions?
Well, when you're, you know, when you're trying to calm down, and you're like, and they're like, calm down, breathe, you know, or you're so fucking mad, you can't breathe. You're like, I literally am so mad, right? Or like, even when you're smoking that, like, and you're holding it because you want to get real fucking high, and then you breathe it out, right? And so it is integrated in so much of our life. We just don't know how to use it to, you know, the best. It's like they say, like our brain, we only use 10% of our brain. Mm. We really only use like, you know, 10% of our breath when you think about how much your breath can do.
I was thinking of all the times where like, I don't know, if you yell to somebody to calm down or to take a deep breath, I feel like that is the thing that will make me so mad that I will not want to breathe. And also every time that I actually do take a moment to be like, oh, I actually am going to take like a deep belly breath or something, it's so effective that it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, but you said,
oh, great. They were right.
It turns out I just need to take a moment and breathe. My little sister is always like, calls me to calm down, and she's always like, God, I hate that worked.
It's very annoying.
I kind of love when stuff that I'm just like, man, I hate that works. But I feel like breath is kind of one of those things where, you know, you do it your entire life, but you're not really like doing it intentionally.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if you knew that you could control your emotions through your breath, that's quite literally free. Like, would you not do it?
Yeah.
In a world that charges you for literally everything, this thing is free. Mm. And that is so powerful.
Yeah. Definitely.
I was thinking of a time where I was like very sick, and it was like a really hard time at work where I was doing lots of like these deep breaths to like get through like tough stuff, and I was super sick, and where every time I would take a deep breath, I would cough, I would like catch, and it was like the worst like 3 weeks of like this one thing that I was like, oh, this is actually really effective, and I should do this more often. Never mind, it's immediately not an option. Dope. Never mind.
Don't do it while you're sick. Yeah. Oh man. Well, there is breaths for because it was shortness of breath. So there's a technique to do when you can't get all the way down there.
That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. So can somebody expect from maybe like one of these
one of these sessions? Nothing of what you know. Like if you type in YouTube breath work, right? It's not gonna be that because I don't know what you can and can't do. So obviously before the segment closes, we're going to do breath work together because that feels like we should.
Sure. I was supposing we might.
Yeah, I was hoping we would. But it's just like, come as you are. I think sometimes people get so like, you got to sit up straight and you got to do that. I'm like, no, let's just see where your body naturally is and then see if we can just expand from there. And then even just like, I do so many different techniques. So like one of my favorite things to do is the telephone technique. I was a dyslexic child, so I had to go to the special room for reading. And when you're a little kid, you have to like, you know, have your hand here so that you can hear the words that you're reading so that you can comprehend it. But I learned that sometimes if I say my affirmations, the voice in my head says something different. So if I do the trick that I did in school and I say this affirmation to myself, I can't hear that voice. Try it though. Say like, I'm the most gorgeous person I've ever met.
This is the best afro ever.
Period. It's so crazy. You can't hear anything else. And so we'll do tons of stuff. Like we're going to breathe and we're going to like play around with like tons of techniques and tons of things. So.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. No, it sounds really like the idea that it's free and it's accessible, like especially in a world that charges you for everything. I think that's extremely important, is that like you can access this between, you know, between customers, between, you know what I mean? Like a commute to work.
Yeah.
I was also thinking about, like, at work we do a lot of like, oh, let's take like three belly breaths together, whatever. And it's meant to be like accessible to everybody, but like one of the things that people frequently say is like, the purpose of it is to make you feel like in your body, and everyone's like, fuck that. I don't want, that's the one place I don't want to be. Like,
I need escapism.
Yeah. Don't make me more here. That's not what I wanted to ever. So I wonder like about the balance of those things too.
Yeah. To be in your body. I guess I wonder what the purpose of being in your body is. I think it's being more present is the word that they're looking for. But if you don't want to be.
Which people don't want to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The presence not that dope sometimes.
A lot of the times, actually. Yeah, the deep belly breaths are really nice of like centering myself so that I can come to a better decision. Right. But sometimes I need an extra boost and I don't want to drink any caffeine. So I'll do like fire breaths to like hype myself up. Okay. Right. Or sometimes I'm like holding back tears because I'm an Aries and I don't like to cry. And so I literally do a technique that triggers crying so that I can cry it out, move the fuck on.
Love that.
At a time and place you like feel so inclined.
Yeah.
I like that.
In a closet where no one can see me.
Exactly.
Exactly. The crying place, obviously.
The crying place.
I think I might be like the only Cancer that has no interest in crying.
Oh, Cancer. Do you know your big three?
No.
Do you know your big three?
Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman.
Shut up.
Leave.
No, I don't.
That's going to be actually a clip.
I think, yeah, that's like the rising, the sinking, the yep, those ones.
Yep. Nope, rising,
I don't.
Falling.
I don't.
Yeah. It's so astrology is cool because it obviously you connect with Cancer, but don't connect with Cancer. And that's because it's not all the things. Like your rising is your personality, your moon is your emotion. So I wonder what your moon sign is. That's why you're not connected. And then of course your, you know, your sun sign is you, like I'm an Aries. So obviously I'm an Aries, but like I'm a Sagittarius moon sign. And like, I do so many things that align with Sagittarius.
Sure.
So definitely checking to see what your moon is of like why you're not attracted to crying. Cause you might be an Aries and I get that, or Sagittarius and I really get that.
I feel like the only things I know about the Cancer stuff is like being like super emotional, which I am, but like I just keep it to myself, like nurturing family stuff, which not like actual family, but like the people I choose to be family.
Yeah.
Like homebody stuff.
Yeah.
Those are the things that I know. The end.
The end. That's enough.
That's all I got.
That's more than enough. That's more than enough.
You had mentioned a couple extra or a couple variations of breaths earlier, like where you just like the fire breath. So are there different, this is going to sound really dumb because I'm an amateur, but are there different kinds of breaths?
Yes. And we study all of these white men that went all of these places and came back and was like, I'm going to name this after myself.
No way.
Yeah, I did this. So the Wim Hof breath is like one of the ones that most people know. And that's the belly chest out. Right.
Okay.
You know that with birthing too, right? Mm-hmm. That's the same sound you make with birthing. So there are tons of different names for the breath. There's the lion's breath that if you can't access this, you do like the and that's the breath that you do since you couldn't get into your chest.
Sure. Okay.
But I mean, I make up my own. I call one of them an ocean breath because I literally breathe like the ocean and I'm moving my body.
Yeah, you feel like it's like.
We're going to do the balloon breath today. I made that up. I don't know. It looks like a balloon to me.
Everything's
so that's
made
the
up.
Thing. That part.
Honestly.
That
yeah,
part.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Because
there's newer names.
There's newer names and I'm going to be myself and make it up and hopefully they write a book about it. I don't know.
Listen, they gave Wim Hof a fucking breath.
They
should be a Kingsley, okay? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really awesome. So how did you kind of go about like discovering some of these? Was it just like, I mean, I imagine it was like a lot of playing, but like, was it feeling that that it had done something special for you and maybe try to recreate it?
I'm not going to give this man a lot of credit, but my ex is the reason to why I am with breath. I kind of ran with it, but I was mad about something because I'm an Aries and he was like, you need to like breathe. Let's do this little thing. And it was, it's a universal breath. It's in for 7, hold for 4, out for 8. It's called the breath of life.
Okay.
And I got tricked. Like I'm an Aries addicted. I was like, what more can I do? And then COVID happened and it was like literally on the internet. It was like a free masterclass or whatever. And I was like, sign me up from that. Sure. And then I took another one and then I took another class and I took another class. And then I started showing my friends because I'm like, you guys have to try this.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And then I started like actually teaching it at retreats and then started being, you know, having my own clientele, and it really was a snowball. But like it's originally stimulated from, I was a fucking crazy Aries and I needed to calm down all the time. Like I just needed to calm down. Yeah. And you can't be high all day.
Yeah. It's frowned upon.
It's frowned upon. But I get higher doing breath work. That's the crazy part. That's like cool. I have been stoned out of my mind on just doing breath and it blows me away. Yeah. And I've orgasmed from my own breath. Like it blows me away.
Breathing. This entire time. Who'd have thought you can get high in orgasm?
Yeah.
Maybe even at the same time.
Yeah. If you're lucky. Holy smokes.
No, but I mean, I think that's the powerful thing about breath. Like you were talking about getting excited about it. And it's like, I feel like once I was more conscious of my breath, like something that I'd heard was that like when your exhale is longer than your inhale, it's like it helps calm your nervous system. And that I was just like, okay, I'm just going to try this. It seems super easy, super accessible. And just realizing how much that works.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Where did you see that?
So my hyperfixation is communication. So I'm always just like researching stuff, and I deal a lot with anxiety. So they were just like, hey, this is how you can regulate yourself a little bit. And I was like, yeah, that's so accessible, you know?
Oh, I love that. That warms my heart.
I think about it a lot at work too. Like Zane and I are frequently in like escalated situations with young people who are very dysregulated. And I know that like for me, like if I'm like in a situation where I'm like getting screamed at a bunch or something, like just being able to, even if I don't actually do it, I like physically think about putting my hands in my pockets, even though a lot of like femme clothes don't have pockets. So I just have to think about it. But like what is like the relaxed like posture and like stance of a person who's just like hanging out with their hands in their pockets, like not feeling intense or activated at all, and then try and breathe like that person would theoretically breathe. And the more I role model that to the person who's screaming at me, sometimes they're able to like come down
that body
and like
mirroring.
Match.
I love that. I do that a lot with a lot of body mirroring when I'm doing like podcasts and interviewing. Mm-hmm. It's like really nice to like just match the person. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually really cool that you do that for students.
Yeah,
dysregulation is exhausting. So if I can like help bring people down, they don't have any young homeless people that we work with do not have any extra energy to expend on yelling and being mad.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to help them save a little of it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the balloon breath is going to be your new go-to.
All right.
I'm definitely curious. So we got a little bit of time. So tell me a little bit about this balloon breath.
So I literally like I have exert a lot of energy and it really just brings me down. I, you know, sometimes I'm beat them up now, ask questions later. Fair. And that's not always, it's like the SpongeBob, like, you have to ask him a question first. You just can't go in swinging. And so I found this, like the expansion of it to be really quick, and you only have to do it 3 times. And I'm like a in and out. I don't have a lot of time to do stuff. And so, yeah, we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Huh? This is right up in Zane's alley.
Yes.
No time. Move it along.
No time. So it's going to be in through your mouth the whole time. Okay. And you're just going to breathe in through a straw, like you're filling up a balloon. And you're just going to hold it at the top. And I'm going to say, take in more air, take in more air, take in more air. And then when I say release through the straw, you're going to go just like that. Super simple.
Okay.
You don't have to fix yourself. Just be as you are. There's no rules. Okay. Here we go. So take a deep breath in. Hold it. Take it more. Take it more. Let it out. Good. Do it again. In. Take it more. One more. Hold it. Let it out. Last time. Here we go. More. 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 One more. Let it out.
I feel high. That was sick.
And right and zen, and it's like right here.
That's going to be funny to listen to on the podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It'd be way better to watch. Oh, excellent. No, I appreciate you running us through that technique and sharing that with some of our listeners. So I appreciate you. Awesome. We're going to take a real quick break and we will be right back with the smoke break. And welcome back to the smoke break. I'm your host, your old pal Zane, here with Jasmine Nothing.
Still here.
And Kingsley.
Alive.
alive. Thank goodness.
Gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, we were breathing and we continued to do that. So that was fun. The thing that I wanted to say is our preamble, which is just to inform you that this is for entertainment purposes only. And we work in the field of mental health, but don't claim to be professionals in this space. Our intention is to have conversations around lived experience. And as a result, we may not always agree with everything that our guests say, but we do intend to hold space for conversations and learning from one another. So yeah, thank you for sharing with us.
I love that.
Like, yeah.
The quick disclaimer.
Yeah, you got to do it. You got to do it. Otherwise, they're just like, nope, I'm pretty sure that was a doctor that told me.
TikTok said it.
Yep, TikTok said it. So the second topic that you kind of wanted to talk about was the idea of creation being the opposite of depression.
Yes. Tell us more.
I'm just learning that, like, my lowest of lows, the best way to get out of it is making something. And that's it. It's just making things
To make something makes sense. I have the hardest time making things when I am depressed.
And it's the thing that is the best for you.
Yes.
But I wonder if it's because of the perfectionality that it is. Mm. So like sometimes I just turn on a YouTube beat and I just sing. I'm not like writing it down. It's not for a song. It's not for production. It's just me making something.
Yeah.
And I feel so much better at the end of it. It's messy. It's ugly, but I'm making it.
You're like, you're not creating it for the idea of it lasting. Yeah. You're just the idea of creating it.
Yeah.
I like that. I think there needs to be like a certain
Thank
amount
you.
Of-
that was way better how to say it.
I appreciate that idea just because it's like, I don't know, when I'm depressed, I want to create and I know that creating makes me feel better, but creating something that I don't like or that is poor quality can make me feel worse.
Yeah.
But I think that if I go into it with the mindset of like, this is for the sake of creating, not for the sake of releasing, that I can kind of detach from it and just enjoy the process.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe even make something better because I'm detached enough.
Yeah. I mean, we're humans. We're supposed to make things. Like it's inevitable. We're supposed to commune and make things. It's the two of the most, I don't know,
like primal
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got all my words today. keep filling my soul.
I was also just thinking, like, Zane, you frequently talk about the idea of like making something bad so you can get it out of the way.
Yes.
Because now you have one less bad thing. And
yes.
You're getting one closer to like the good thing you're going to make next time.
I have that same ideology. Yeah. I'm like, get it out so that we can see what it's like so we can make the next thing.
Yes.
Move, hustle.
Clear some of the clutter.
Yeah.
Honestly, no. Where's your, I guess like your idea with that coming from?
I think I just don't care. It's the problem.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
I want to not care.
Well,
cool.
If you know,
is there a breath for that? Please.
If, seriously.
Yes, there is.
Thank God.
It's called Turn on Meg the Stallion, Throw Some Ass.
It's a long title.
Trademark too. It's actually very awkward.
Still working on it. I think because I'm so excited for the next thing that like I'm in the midst of this thing thinking about the next thing that I'm like, I can't wait for this to be done so I can like start the next thing.
Yeah.
I've always been that way of like move forward, keep moving forward. That like it never bugs me. I mean, my first record was not terrible.
Sure.
It's a great record. But I look back and I'm like, oh, honey, I wouldn't have done any of those things.
Yes.
And we ran out of money. So the project had to be done. That was the main thing. I was like, well, we are officially finished.
Yep.
This is the budget.
I mean, did you make the best thing you could with the information and the resources and skill you had at the time?
Maybe.
and then you did. And the next one was better because you had more of those things.
The next one. And this last record, I literally every record, I'm always like, this is the best thing I could have made. This is the best thing. And now this record, I'm like, this is the best thing I could have ever made. And it's because of all the trial and error. I don't play now. I'm like, I know exactly what the thing is going to be like because I tried it already. And I, you know, and so like make it, be done with it, move on from it. Nobody cares. And not to like make people feel bad, but you're not special and no one's going to remember anyway. So like just make your fucking shit.
Honestly.
Make your fucking shit.
I think that's like almost like a better perspective because it's like I think that we get this idea that we are special. Therefore, everything we make must be perfect. Therefore, if it's not, that we're flawed. And it's like once you realize that you're not special and that you're probably going to release some bad songs also, then it's so much easier to see yourself as like, I don't know, like even my favorite artist, there's songs on the album that I'm like, I don't fucking like this.
Next.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I know this one isn't good. I'm going to the next one.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I think I'm above ever creating a song that you would ever skip.
Yeah.
Do you know who I think I am?
You also have an older EP that you loved when you put it out and I still love now.
Thank you.
And
I don't, but thank you. Thank you.
I specifically was saying what I thought of it. Thank you. And you have a new one coming out soon, which you're really excited about.
Yes. Yeah, but I mean, I think that there was a lot of songs that like I'm not a fan of that like I wouldn't have put on there that like I had to get that stuff out of the way. And I had to create at a time when, you know, I didn't necessarily feel like it. Like I was struggling with like a lot of mental health stuff at that time. And it's like, okay, I don't feel good, but this might make me feel better / might make me feel worse, but I have to take a chance.
Yeah, I just have to get the story out. In order to change the narrative has to be written. And so it's such a great thing. And yeah, I mean, my new record I'm obsessed with. I do not like singing songs from my old record. And it was a breakup record. I'm tired of singing about that, man.
Sure, it's over.
Sure. Yeah. That's
doesn't
fair.
Deserve any of the songs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, do you feel like that there's that time and distance that comes between you and like the last thing you released where it's like, that was really important to me at the time, but we're also kind of past that time.
Yeah. And it should be because you're growing as a person. Like nothing should stay the same. Because you've moved on from it. And I think that's the thing of like creation is opposite of depression. Like it's getting you out of the thing. So it shouldn't resonate with you anymore. You're not in that space.
Yeah.
We've talked about that with like some of your older jokes that you tell too. Where like you still like the jokes still hit, but like you don't necessarily like feel them like attached to them anymore in the same way.
Yes.
Because like your life has just moved on and like your circumstances have just changed so much since you wrote those originally.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of reminds me of what you were talking about where it's just like, yeah, I've moved past this point. So like, I'm just not as connected to that piece of art. Do you ever feel like there's stuff like that you've written with your stories and stuff like that?
Mostly when I go back and read the old stories, I'm just like, God, the old ones were sad. Like they were such.
So were my old songs.
Bummers. And it wasn't. I don't know. My show has been around for almost 9 years now, and I would say the last 4 years, 3 or 4 years, is when I was like, oh, you should probably make some bits funny. Mm. Otherwise, because I've gone back and read some of the ones from the first 2 years and just been like, fuck me.
But
like, these are so heavy.
Telltale, like it was out of necessary need for community gathering through what was hard. Like there was hard life happening and you needed people around you that were also going through hard. So that art represented that thing.
Totally. Which is like still accurate. Yeah. That's still kind of why Telltale exists. I just think that I can still do all of those things while bumming people out slightly less.
Yeah.
At the same time, it makes the stories more fun to tell if people leave on a laugh instead of me just being like, everything sucks. And I also agree.
Yeah.
Here's a lot of really long stories about how much it sucks, specifically with like pretty words. and so now I do that like half the time, but like funny bits in the middle.
Yeah. They have a thing in college. It's called after dinner speech. And it really is like taking a really tough topic and like making it really funny and light because there should be like the hard bits and then you should laugh about it and there should be the hard bits and you should, and that's comedy, right?
Yeah,
it's like, we're talking about some crazy shit, but you're going to laugh because, you know, you can spark conversation from both things.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I think that I would say like my music and my comedy have been very separate in the way that like my comedy has always expressed what I felt like my music couldn't and vice versa. Mm. So, yeah, like I definitely wrote from like a really, really like sad place for like a long time. And I lost my fucking train of thought. I was like, please.
Do you think that's shifting though? Like in your new songs, do you feel like that's shifting?
Yes,
you're writing from
definitely.
A different place?
Yeah. I definitely feel like I'm writing from a different place because it's like, yeah, I needed to express that. I needed to feel through that. But at the same time, it's like, I like songs that I can listen to on any day, not my bad days, not my worst days, not fucking, you also broke up with somebody today too. Oh my God, that's what I'm dealing with right now. It's like, I want something that I can just kind of fucking throw on, you know, like, cause that's what I
timeless.
Feel like everybody has.
Something timeless.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's your experience with that? Like, do you like writing like more topic focused or story focused or do you kind of just like fun songs?
So my last record was, you know, it's in order. So Crying on Holidays, if you listen to it start to finish, it walks you through my breakup.
Okay.
It's very intentional to go through.
Yeah.
But then I saw an interview from Dua Lipa for whatever the Future Nostalgic when she was doing a Rolling Stone. And she said the person wasn't real. She was like writing about this thing. And I'm like, I want to manifest a fun life. Like, I don't want to. And so when I started writing this new record, it wasn't anything that existed. And then I started like traveling. I was in London. And one of the lines in there, I kissed this girl literally in London right by Big Ben. And she said, you're a daydream. And I was like, that's going in a song. And so it was
write
like this snow.
Damn, yeah, for real bars.
Siri, open my notes. It snowballed into this thing of like, I'm writing things that I want to happen. Like, we always think we have to write from this thing and everyone wants people to be this sad and know that. Couldn't you do the opposite too? Like, couldn't you write from something that doesn't exist that is really whimsical and really fun? And so this next record really challenged me to like get out of the like you know, I love Sad Girl music, but I do too. There's only so many.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, like, I guess like the hip hop that I kind of came up on was like the conscious stuff that where it's, I mean, a lot of it was kind of breakup stuff where it was just like atmosphere. You just like this, like at the time, I guess that's what I needed. But like now that I've grown past a lot of that, it's like, okay, what's just like something I can listen to? What's something I can connect with? I like the idea of creating something in the opposite direction of like, yes, I might be feeling and experiencing this, but like, what if I just, you know, tried to create feelings?
Like, don't live in that. Like, go
exactly,
somewhere else.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I and would that. That pull you out of depression if you're writing something that, that you're not currently living in?
I feel like sometimes yes. Cause like sometimes I will write myself into like, I'm dealing with this better than I actually am. And then I kind of feel like I'm dealing with it better than
profit.
I was. Yeah, I'm just trying. I'm just, you know, just imagining the universe and creating it. It's no big deal. Oh my God, that's super funny. But so what's been your experience with depression? Because I imagine if you like you've been using creation to get out of it, that it's probably something cyclical or.
I am a very late depressor of life. I never experienced depression until a year ago.
Interesting.
And maybe it was like the lows and highs of life, but I mean like not physically getting out of bed. I've never experienced that. And it was I had to move back in with my parents. Love you, Mom. Like you, Dad. No, love you, Dad. And maybe a little car got my car got smashed. I had no fucking $0, 0 cents. And I'm living in my childhood bedroom. And I mean, could not get out of bed. And my mom was like, you just need to like write something, but like, do not write about this thing. Like, don't write about this. Just like, just write. And that's when I just started like waking up, turning on a YouTube beat, not getting out of bed, breathing myself into creativity and then singing something. And every day it was like, okay. And my mom was like, wow, you're humming around the house again. I can tell that you're starting to move around this thing. And it was really that. And so that's why I'm saying like I'm learning, like I almost slipped back into it. Some weird shit happened in January and it was 2 days in that bed. And I was like, no.
Slippery.
Okay.
And I'm learning the opposite of my depression is creation. Like I have to create something.
Yeah.
And I can get out of it quicker and quicker and quicker.
I like
that. And maybe that's why I never experienced that version of depression because I've always been creating and it was a time that I wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
At all. And that thing happened.
I like that you say that because I feel like the times that I catch myself becoming depressed are the times that I realize I haven't been creating. I'm just like, oh man, I haven't gone out to, oh, I actually haven't. And then I wasn't in the mood to, I'm creating this. I'm creating this by not creating.
Yeah. What about for you?
It's kind of a vicious cycle. Yeah.
What about for you?
Oh, I'm real sad all the time. And I don't actually create, I basically write one story a month for the show. Like that is like the only thing that I normally make. And I don't make things in between.
You make food. That is creative.
Yeah.
As somebody who does not make any.
I make it more when you come over.
Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's definitely other ways that it happens, even just like small stuff like I'm going to move everything in my house and put it in a different order or
creating a new space.
Yes.
Yeah. Or like I was just this morning like standing out on the back deck and being like, well, I think it's almost time to like revive this space, like because the flowers came up for the first time in the backyard for the season, like a daffodil opened. And I was like, oh, no, I think I need to like make all of that door space like cozy again. I would like to create other stuff. I'm trying to like learn how to like draw a little bit,
okay,
which is really hard, and I don't like doing things that I'm not naturally good at.
Your moon has to be an Aries or Sagittarius.
We're narrowing it down.
And I've painted two things, and I'm working on a third.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to learn how to paint. But yeah, doing things is hard.
What is that like when you do create something that you are proud of? Okay, wait. Have you created something you're proud of?
Yes.
Okay. When you create something
that
you're proud of, yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Gotta check. When you create something that you're proud of, do you feel like that boosts your mood in a way of almost inspiring you?
Yeah, kind of like the skill momentum you've definitely brought up before of like, if I'm good at this, maybe I can do another one. Mm-hmm. There's just like so many that I'm not proud of in the middle where I'm just like, that makes me not want to do this again.
How do we get through the middle part? Kingsley,
is there a breath for that?
Yeah.
Fucking thank God.
Do it. Just keep doing it. That's the thing that we were talking about at the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. Do it for fuck's sake and be done with it and move the fuck on from it. And like, I don't know. Everyone thinks they're Picasso. Picasso's not even Picasso. And like, whatever, make ugly art, make weird shit.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in Portland. Do weird shit.
Honestly, I think one of the things that like you were correct. That was an awesome way to end that. I was so trying to wrap that up in a better way. Jasmine, please
save
me. Do weird shit. Welcome to Portland. We'll be back with the smoke break in just a second. And welcome back to the smoke break. I'm your host, Joel Palzane, here with Jasmine Nothing.
Yep.
And Kingsley.
Present.
We're all here and accounted for. So this last part I wanted to talk to you and you, because I feel like this is a common experience. Yeah, that's perfect. You're both here. Culture shock. So culture shock, for those of you who might be hearing about this for the first time, is just kind of like the idea of going to like a new place and it being so different from the place you're coming from that you're like, whoa, wait. Like I went to China, so I had culture shock. I was like, this is vastly different. Have you ever experienced that?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a world traveler. So, I mean, I was in Iceland and there are no Negroes there. And that was Portland's white, but man, Iceland is white.
It's in the name.
It is white. Yeah. Culture shock. And I was in London for 6 months and I was in Lisbon and yeah, I haven't been to a place where I've been like, I need to go to Africa because I'm like every place I go to, it's like far and few black people. And it really is a culture shock. And I was in line, going to the DR. Actually, that's where I saw a lot of black people. I was in line and this white guy had never seen a black American except for on YouTube. So he's like asking me questions about baddies. I've never seen baddies. I wasn't allowed to watch it as a kid. I don't do it as an adult. It's just the rules that I follow in my household.
Oh my
God. And I'm like, I don't know any of the baddies. Like, what? Well, he's telling me I looked like a baddie. And then I looked up the show and I said, oh, that's why.
Jesus Christ.
That's why. I didn't know it was an insult then, but
yeah,
I was like, thank you. Yeah. I am a baddie. Happy baddies month.
I went to China when I was 19. And that was I lived in China when I was 19 and I'd only lived in like a small town of like 3,000. I'd lived in like other places around America, like Iowa, small town Oregon, but yeah, it went from 3,000 to like just millions, and it went from understanding a language to realizing that like I can only order what I know how to say. That's the only food I can eat is my vocabulary. I feel like a sense of culture shock when I got back, where it was like I had gotten so adjusted and accustomed to the customs that when I came back, like. For example, there's the like in the Chinese, like when speaking Mandarin, there's tones, right? They go up and down. So there's not as much tone of voice like when they're saying things. But when I got back here, like tone
it's
of
so
voice,
animated.
The inflection, like all of it, it was like super triggering to me because I was just like, whoa, I'm trying to like decipher what you're trying to say because like just because you said these words doesn't mean it's these
they
words.
They whisper so much in England and I'm a black girl. So right. Like literally my best friend Alana, who still lives there, was like, they think we're arguing and we're literally just like talking about
out
loud.
So.
I'm just talking loud and using my hands and be like, bitch, then this. And they're like, oh, holding my pearls in my teeth. Oh, my God. You're your savior.
So you're a world traveler. What's kind of taking you around the world?
Heartbreak. Next
okay.
question. There was no place on earth far away from my ex that I couldn't get to.
Damn.
Yeah, no, I literally sold all my shit and I was like, I'm gonna go find myself. But I got broke and I was still sad.
Damn. I'll tell you about that part.
I ran out of money. I was like, I gotta go home to find myself.
Where it's cheaper.
Yeah. It's cheaper.
I find myself where the rent's affordable. No, that's interesting. I don't know. I actually would hear this saying, and you probably heard it while you're traveling, is that like people who travel abroad are either going to something or from something. I always think that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? You left home. You were from like a smaller place.
Yeah, I grew up in a small town in the Midwest in Indiana. And
same. We're all small town Midwest people. Mm-hmm.
That's why we got us together in this episode.
And why we fled to not there.
Yep, and why we're all here now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I left when I was 17 and came out to, well, when I was 16, I came out to Portland for the first time and was here for a couple of days and was like, oh, okie doke, I'm done. Like, this is where I would like to be forever now. And was it because it was like one of the only cities I'd ever been to? Maybe. but it was pretty and it was big in comparison to where I was from. It was big. And so I was pretty sold on it pretty immediately. I remember like getting off of the first time I came here was by train, like on Amtrak. And so I remember just like getting off and just like standing outside the train station for a long time and being like, it's so big and pretty. What if I lived here forever?
The white people didn't scare you?
There were a lot more people of color here than I had ever experienced before.
Really?
Oh, that's so
that's small town Indiana.
That's scary.
There was one black girl on my softball team, and there was a Chinese restaurant owned by some posing Chinese people. The end.
I think
what I know.
Yeah, we were the first black family like in our
Plainfield stand up.
And then, like, it was, like, fifth grade, there were, like, more black families. And then by middle school, there was, like, you know, a multitude of people. But I remember, like, coming from inner city to no black people. I was, like, in the school lunches, I'm like, are y'all okay?
Yeah. Okay, so you went from inner city to where? Like, suburbs?
Or? Plainfield, Illinois. It's a suburb of a farming town. So,
okay,
like,
so that was probably culture shock, too, yeah?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Nothing could have prepared me. My poor parents didn't want us to grow up in the hood, but they were not equipped for white people. I'm like, yeah, while I'm not running from gangs, I'm literally surrounded by white gangs.
Yeah, like, yeah, new shit though.
It's an emotional thing. So
yeah.
And then I came to Portland and I was like, wow, couldn't get whiter than this.
Glad I trained up in the suburbs. Yeah,
I was actually well equipped here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We trained for this.
Oh, but I do feel like growing up in my town, like it was like a white town. I'm definitely a white person, but I get surprised. I know. Yeah, checks out, huh? But I also was still like a weirdo in the town. We didn't go to church, which was super frowned on. I didn't eat meat, which didn't go well.
Strike two.
There was a lot of like, oh, what do you even eat? Like, here's a salad. Like, ugh. Did you just eat rabbit food? Like, a lot of jokes about that growing up. And I didn't go to school at all. And so between those three things, there was just a lot of like, who are this? There's a lot of like isolation and like othering that still felt, you know, not awesome and shifted a lot when I came to a town with other people that were also weird.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I mean, I feel like the culture shock portion of it is like going from a place where you're familiar with people to a place where you're not so much, because it's like there's so much safety in that familiarity. You know, it's like I know what to expect in my small town. I know what to expect in my big city. Or
predictable, even if you don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But I think that going to a new place is just it's always so terrifying, because it's like, even if you go to a new place that's exactly like the place you were at, there's still the fear of like things are new, different, whatever. But
like everyone says things so different. We can stick with America the way they said. But like I asked for the bill and the lady in London was like, you mean check? Bitch, you know what I meant.
Was it necessary?
Do you want to get money or not? Because yeah, I'll walk out right now. I don't even know if it's going to go through at this point, lady.
You better hope tip is the same word or you're not getting one of those either.
Yeah, just like the way that people talk to each other is always really funny. I remember I was on the phone when I first moved here trying to tell my ex where to pick me up, and I said, Couch Street. Someone was walking by like, it's Couch. Actually, I was like, can you tell him where to get me then? Damn, help me.
Yeah, for real. Well, it's spelled like this in my phone.
Yeah, it's literally couch. But
people really have the desire to correct other people all the time. Just like, what if we didn't? Like, if you understood what I meant.
Yes.
Shut up.
He didn't know that either. Regardless of the name of the street, we both don't know where to pick me up. That's the issue.
Pronunciation wasn't the problem.
Like, where's he going?
Yeah.
I definitely remember.
I was driving to couch. Fuck. So
the first time
around.
I asked my dad right when we moved here to like pick me up here. And I just told him like the cross streets, but not directions, because I'd never lived anywhere big enough that there could possibly be like two stark and tenths. And so he was like at one and I was at the other, and both of us were just like getting so angry at each other for being like, no, I swear to God, I am 16 and I'm standing on this corner and I am need you to pick me up. It's late. And he was just like, I am also here. I cannot. And it took so long of like speaking around each other for us to figure out like there's two of these. This is a city now. Okay.
This is a city. Okay.
That made me so anxious. The like, all it would take is one piece of information to fix this, and neither person has it. Is like that.
That has happened to me. My mom flew to London, and she was at the other airport, and I was at Heathrow.
Oh,
and she's like, "What do you mean one and two? It literally says north or south." And I'm like, "Bitch, you're 30 minutes away from me."
Oh, no.
I'm like, "Why did I assume that you were flying into this one? Why did I not know that you didn't know what to fly into?"
Which I think is what, I don't know, sometimes I want every piece of information and ask like a thousand questions is to avoid things like this and to make other people not be anxious about whatever the outcome of something is.
Over communication.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great.
My mom is like me, so she had no problem. She got into a, you know, her little taxi and was talking to a man and she's like, everyone's so nice here. So,
you learned it from like, watching someone. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was stressed. I'm like, what do you mean north or south?
How are you with improvising? Because when I travel and like things go wrong, but it's in a place I'm unfamiliar with, like I'm not good in those situations.
I'm down now. I used to not be. Okay, and I think the more you do it and you just like, you know, it just is what it is. I always tell the universe, like, if I'm in this place, it's for a reason. Even like yesterday, we were trying to find a new coffee shop in the Northwest, and the one that we went to didn't have outlets, and the one we went to was it was so freaking packed, and we finally went to this third one, which wouldn't have went to. Literally so cute. I had alcohol, so I'm like, I'm having champagne at 2 p.m.
Sure.
And it was amazing, and me and my best friend left, and I was like, man, we should do that more often, but, you know, go walk around and figure shit out, and...
Which is kind of my favorite part of traveling is doing that.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Or just like finding random places to go. I feel like so many people like pre-plan so much about being on like traveling and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I like to just pick a spot and be like, let's walk until we find the cool one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the first thing not working out is sometimes the best thing, you know, where it's just like you have this intent of like, I'm going to go to this coffee shop. And when that doesn't work out, that's how you end up at the third coffee shop. But if it were to work out the first time, then that's how you just end up at the same coffee shop each time.
Yeah. I think going to the culture shock, the thing that makes me the most mad is when people go into a new space expecting it to be like the space that they've come from. Americans, I'm talking to you.
Yes.
Like we were on a tour in Iceland and these people from Texas were so upset that the bus internet isn't working. I'm like, look out the window at the freaking waterfalls. Are you kidding me? You're worried about posting it on Facebook? Are you kidding me right now?
You can still take pictures.
So just later. Stuff like that, or like the line is taking long when we were, you know, getting back from Canada and they're literally like, this line is all like it's a line. We're literally going through customs. Like, what's happening?
I had something similar to that. I remember, so I was coming back to America because you have to like do visa things. So I was coming back to America. We had a layover in Japan and it was like, I don't know, it was like a 4-hour, 5-hour layover, you know? And like when you're traveling, layover's kind of a pain in the ass. Sure. But the fact was, is that we were in Japan for like 5 hours and this dude is sitting like, over
what
there.
If that was cool?
No,
when are you going to get to have a layover for 5 hours in Japan? You know what I mean?
When are you going
to
be in...
It's like, a free trip to
some
me.
Some people don't leave their hometown. And we're literally in another country that some people will never get to see, surrounded by like as much as we can see of it. And you're upset that we're here for longer.
But even in like a container, like you're at the airport. So like you don't even have to leave. Like walk the frick around.
Yeah.
And like explore the shops that are there.
Exactly. Exactly. I think, there's so much. I don't know. Americans are always so weird because it's just like, I almost said I love you guys. I
do not.
I like some of you individually, but
I do not.
you quote her on that. But I think that, you know, like when I was traveling, that was like where a lot of the privilege stuff kind of like, you know, it became more apparent of like the things where, you know, it's like, well, if you went to another place, you would realize how lucky you have it. And it's like, I do now, you know, I really didn't until I did.
Yeah. I went to Mexico a couple years ago for like a week and a half. And like, I already know that like white folks and Americans are not awesome, but God, was the point really driven home. Like at every restaurant where it would be like mostly white people, they would be so loud and rude and take up so much space and have such high expectations of being like catered to all the time.
Yeah. And it's not an all-inclusive.
These are just like some like restaurant, like just,
they think they deserve that service. They don't think everyone is deserving of that service.
Yeah,
absolutely. It was so embarrassing all the time.
It's so embarrassing. I'm literally, there's a TikTok sound that's like, and then I hear this agitating voice and I'm like, that's literally what I'm like, Americans. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Americans. Oh my God.
It's like, I know I am this also, but I'm so sorry.
Honestly, that's how I feel about
I am
being
not.
Half white.
I am not.
You're not. I'm not. Sorry. All right. Well, Kingsley, hey, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a real treat talking with you and just getting so much perspective. And I appreciate you coming and hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me. You two are amazing.
It's likewise. Well, that has been the Smoke Break, folks. I've been your host, your old pal Zane. This has been Jasmine Nothing.
I like breathing.
And Kingsley.
Gotcha.
You goddamn right. We'll see you next time.